Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host, Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Janet Keller. Each week, we visit with authors of all kinds and sometimes editors, teachers, or publishers who have regional or local connections. We hope to find out a little about their lives, what prompts them to write, and why they love this writing life so much. We give them an opportunity to read from some of their work, and we're very pleased to have Janet Keller with us today. Janet Keller is an author and storyteller who has written and performed in many stage works that feature a fusion of music and spoken word, among them folk tales, Good Night, Sweetheart, and Tales from the Wellington Dump. She published two contemporary novels before she launched into the popular Thaddeus Lewis mystery series, which incorporates Ontario's rich history into a highly readable mystery plot. The latest in the series, Wishful Seeing, is set in the Cobourg area and was released this summer. Janet currently lives in an unfashionable part of Prince Edward County with her husband, two dogs, and thousands of red cedar trees. Welcome, Janet.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Your series about Thaddeus Lewis and his adventures are very popular, Janet. I was interested to find out that Thaddeus Lewis had a real life and had actually written an autobiography. Did you base your fictional character on the real one?
Well, I did and I didn't. What really attracted me about the autobiography was this anecdote that was kind of buried in the middle of the book about a girl who had been killed in Prince Edward County, and it subsequently came to light that this was in fact a serial killer, and tried to track all of that down on a nonfiction basis and couldn't because the records just aren't there anymore. And so I started thinking about writing a murder mystery, and I very nearly did not have Thaddeus as the hero. You know, you have to make a decision about who the detective character is going to be. And I had some difficulty with the religious part of that character, in that at that time, everything that happened was thought to be God's will. Mm-hmm. And it's so, well, if it's God's will, why would you bother tracking anybody down, you know, to take them to account for a murder? So I wrestled with that for a while, and I finally decided that Thaddeus's mobility in a very, you know, in Upper Canada, which was very difficult to travel through at the time, really made him kind of an ideal character. So then I had to start thinking about how the fictional Thaddeus Lewis was going to be different from the real Thaddeus Lewis. Mm-hmm. So yes and no is the answer to that.
Yes. Right. You've really answered this question. What prompted you to write this series?
Oh, well, I was a storyteller initially, a performance storyteller, and I worked a lot with musicians, and I was taking a lot of historical stories and anecdotes and putting them into a storytelling thing that's kind of fused with music, and it was all very, you know, artsy and theatrical and everything. This was one of the stories that just wouldn't go on a stage. And that's really I started to write novels, is because I had stories I wanted to do something with. And I just, you know, there was too much information or not enough information or too much explanation required in order to get an audience to understand what was going on in the space of, say, a 5 or 10 minute, you know, story on stage. So that's really why I started to write them.
Uh-huh. And the series?
That was interesting because I was really only thinking of the first book because It was based on the autobiography. And then I met with my publisher, and almost the first thing they said to me was, can this be a series?
Yes.
And, of course, I answered, sure. Stay tuned. And then I discovered that it could be. So that was fun. That was nice.
Mm-hmm. 18th and 19th century circuit riders were often faced with dangerous and difficult situations, which brought out the hero in them, and some of them wrote about their lives. What was it that appealed to you about Thaddeus Lewis? Did he have that heroic character, do you think?
Well, it was a very derring-do kind of life. I mean, in the autobiography, he talks about wrestling hecklers to the ground at camp meetings, and at one point he went through the ice between Kingston and Wolf Island and only just got kind of pulled out at the last minute kind of thing. You know, so there was a lot of material in terms of what was actually there, And as soon as I decided that, no, I have to put the real Thaddeus aside and make him fictional, he started to operate from a very strong ethical base rather than a religious base. Mm-hmm. And that turned him into a very thoughtful and considerate kind of man. It really turned him into quite a lovely man. And as soon as you start feeling that way about a character, it's very easy to carry on and put them in situations where you see how they react, and you become very, very fond of them.
Oh, yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
Good. Well, how about reading to us?
Okay. I'm going to read you a little bit from, this is the second book in this series. It's called Sowing Poison. Mm-hmm. It takes place in Wellington, Ontario, which is in Prince Edward County. And it sort of discusses some of the spiritualism movement that was very prevalent in the colony. So
would that embrace
we're talking seances and table rapping and
all that kind of stuff, not the religious kind that rose up in camp meetings and stuff.
This is talking with the dead and stuff like this. So this woman has turned up in Wellington. She's holding seances in the Temperance Hotel in Wellington. And Thaddeus is pretty sure that she's a fraud, and so he decides to join one of the sessions one day to see if he can catch her out on anything. "We're set to begin," Clementine said. "Please join hands. Now, I must warn you that no matter what happens here today, no matter what you see or hear, you must not let go. It would be dangerous for the spirits to sever the connection in so abrupt a manner." Lewis clasped the hands of the plump woman to his right and a red-faced man to his left. "We seek enlightenment," Clementine intoned. "We seek the spirits of those who have left us." She swayed slightly as she spoke, and in order to maintain a uniform distance between them, everyone else at the table swayed as well. "Concentrate. Everyone must concentrate. It is helpful sometimes to close one's eyes." The man and the woman on either side of him dutifully closed their eyes, but Thaddeus had no intention of following that particular instruction. He needed to keep his eyes wide open. "Come to us," Clementine said. "Come to us and give us news of our beloved ones." A rhythmic knocking began, the sound of wood striking wood. It sounded as though someone was rapping on the tabletop. But when Luce looked around, everyone's hands were still firmly joined. "Come to us, come to us, come to us," Clementine repeated. And then she stopped swaying and appeared to be in a deep reverie or trance. When she spoke again, it was in a voice that was entirely different from her previous tone, and different as well from her everyday speech. Something in the way she pronounced the vowels conjured up thoughts of Eastern Europe, or Egypt, or Turkey, or somewhere that was definitely not Wellington. "This is Karina. I am the gatekeeper. I will guide you to what you seek." Thaddeus watched Clementine closely. Her face was in shadow, but to his astonishment, a thin white vapor began to emanate from around her head. Steam or smoke. Slowly the steam spun out and upward, wafting slightly while Lewis looked on in fascination. "Mama?" The voice was that of a small child and seemed to be coming from the curtains. Everyone at the table jumped, and everyone but Mrs. Sprung gasped. "Your mama is here," said the voice coming from Clementine's mouth. "She wants to talk to you." Even in the dim light, he could see the tears rolling down Mrs. Sprung's face. "She never stops thinking of you, Amelia. You can be sure of that." Thaddeus had leaned his forearms against the edge of the table, and now he felt it shift slightly underneath them, then rise an inch or so from the ground. No one else seemed to notice. They had all opened their eyes and were staring at a spot somewhere behind his back. He craned around and nearly let go of the hands he clasped. There, on the wall, was the figure of a young girl with long yellow hair. The apparition was indistinct, blurry at the edges, and inverted, its head pointing at the floor. The ghostly girl seemed not to notice her peculiar position, and every strand of her hair stayed in place, as did the collar of her dress, nothing trailing toward the floor as one might expect of someone who was hanging upside down. "Amelia, honey, it's your mama. How are you, dear?" Mrs. Sprung called out. "Mama, I miss you, mama. You should come and see me soon." "Oh, I will, darling, I will. I miss you, too."
"I have lots of friends here."
"Yes, I know that," Mrs. Sprung said. "Who are you playing with today?"
"Mary."
Thaddeus felt his heart thumping. Mary had been the name of his first daughter.
Thank you, Janet. That was a quite a moment to leave us at the end of your...
I don't want you to read the book, right?
Of course you do. Well, thank you. We've been discussing Janet Keller's Thaddeus Lewis series with her, but now we'll take a short break.